Bulletin, Alice Springs Youth Curfew ends as advocates of First Nations residents question the effectiveness of the measure that's been lauded by authorities. The High Court hears a legal challenge against indefinite detention. And Gaza Health Ministry reports an Israeli airstrike claims 11 people at a Gaza refugee camp. The end of a three-week youth curfew this week in Alice Springs has raised questions about the outback town's long-term future. Chief Minister Eva Lola and Alice Springs Mayor Matt Patterson have called the policy a success, with police reporting a positive impact in the reduction of youth crime as well as domestic violence. But advocates and some First Nations residents have criticized the measure, under which children aged 18 were prohibited from entering Central. Aged under 18 were prohibited from entering Central Alice Springs between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. 18-year-old Alice Springs woman Shania McAdam-Bray says she'd like to see a focus on more long-term solutions.
It's not really addressing the problem in Alice Springs, because obviously when the curfew's done, everything's going to go back to normal. So it's just a band-aid at the moment. They need to come up with a real solution, or at least some other ideas, to help actually get to the core of the issue with the youth and the crime and everything like that.
Extra police patrols will be on the streets to allay fears of a return to the violence which saw the emergency curfew imposed on March 27. Mayor Patterson has said creating a safe space for young people sleeping rough is essential and has urged the establishment of permanent youth accommodation. An inquiry in Victoria has heard royalties agreements were intentionally set up to exclude Aboriginal people from their share of more than $1 billion in land use revenue. State Environment Minister Steve Dimopoulos has told the Europe Justice Commission he believed none of the $1.89 billion in forestry and grazing license revenue since 2010 has gone to traditional owners. Mr. Dimopoulos says as minister he is unable to redirect revenue flowing to the Department of Energy, Environment and Climate Action. Inquiry Commissioner Maggie Walter said the failure to distribute any funds that have come from Crown lands to First Peoples showed there's not been a significant shift in attitude by the state government. Homes Affairs Minister Claire O'Neill says the government is prepared for whatever decision the High Court makes as it considers another immigration case that could have ramification for others. Lawyers for an Iranian man who is refusing to cooperate with efforts to deport him will go before the court today and call for his release into the community. The man arrived by boat more than a decade ago, and he says if he's deported to Iran, he'll be persecuted because he identifies as bisexual. Claire O'Neill has told Channel 7 the government is prepared.
We have very strongly argued that we should be allowed to continue to detain this person. I can tell your viewers, of course, that we are prepared for every eventuality in terms of what decision is made about this, but please understand, at the moment, we are empowered to keep that person in detention, and he is in detention.
And lawyers for the man have told the court his removal from Australia is not practical for the foreseeable future. The government will put its arguments to the court this afternoon. The federal opposition says immediate changes need to be made to increase national security. Coalition Defence spokesperson Andrew Hastie has told the ABC Anthony Albanese should restore the Director General of ASIO and ASIS to his National Security Committee of Cabinet.
We are under immense pressure. People are scared. Anthony Albanese needs to send a few signals that he's serious about national security. He can start by restoring the Directors General of ASIS and ASIO to his National Security Committee of Cabinet. I think that's a huge oversight.
The operators of Westfield Bondi Junction say the complex will reopen tomorrow for a reflection day where there will be no trading. Elliot Rassenor from the Centre Group says councillors will be available to support people.
The centre will open as a community reflection day. There will be no retail trade tomorrow. Instead, the centre will be open for members of the community to visit the centre, to walk through the centre and to pay their respects. There will be counselling, services available on site in order to provide resources to all who need.
Green Senator Nick McKim says he's not satisfied with what he's called the reasons and excuses offered by the heads of Coles and Woolworths to a Senate inquiry he's chairing. The inquiry saw testy exchanges between both the chief executives and the senators, and Nick McKim even warned the Woolworths CEO Brad Banducci that he could be fined or jailed for contempt of the Senate for refusing to answer questions. Senator McKim says he's skeptical about some of what he heard.
I'm not buying some of the reasons or the excuses that we heard from both Coles and Woolworths yesterday. Look, we have a supermarket sector that's far more concentrated than similar countries, and that market dominance allows them to get away with some of the practices that we've heard evidence about.
Gaza's health ministry says an Israeli airstrike on a refugee camp in Gaza has killed at least 11 people. It says the Maghazi urban refugee camp was struck and the dead were taken to a nearby hospital. This man lost family members in the strike.
Oh, people of the world, what is happening is wrong. Have mercy on us. Stop the war. Stop the war. Children are dying in the streets.
The health ministry says Israel's operation since October 7 has killed more than 33,000 Palestinians and wounded more than 76,000 people. Israel says it has killed over 12,000 militants during the war. Meantime, the Israeli army has released footage showing what it says is a strike on a car in southern Lebanon that's killed a Hezbollah commander. It comes as the Lebanese state-run national news agency reported an Israeli drone strike on a car in southern Lebanon killed a Hezbollah commander and wounded two others, while another strike later in a nearby area inflicted casualties. Hezbollah identified the commander near the coastal city of Tai as Ismail Baz. The Israeli military said Baz served as a senior and veteran official in several positions of Hezbollah's military wing. It added that as part of his position, Ismail was involved in the promotion and planning of rocket and anti-tank missile launches towards Israel from the coastal area of Lebanon. Hezbollah militants and Israeli forces have been exchanging fire since a day after the Israeli-Hamas war began on October 7. Nearly 260 Hezbollah members and about 50 civilians have been killed on the Lebanese side of the border since then. The fighting has killed 9 civilians and 11 soldiers in Israel. Back home, a cattle property in outback Queensland will be turned into a national park after one of the largest philanthropic donations for protected land in Australia. The purchase of Begamond Station near Longreach will conserve nearly 350,000 hectares after a $21 million donation from an anonymous philanthropist. The acquisition by the Queensland government was completed with the support of the Nature Conservancy, to which the donation was made. The working cattle farm is a habitat for the elusive and endangered night parrot, the vulnerable yellow-footed rock wallaby, and threatened Opalton grass wren. It also sits at the headwaters of the Lake Eyre Basin, one of Queensland's most important inland river catchments. And to sport in AFL, Port Adelaide forward Jeremy Finlayson has expressed his frustration with the 3-match suspension handed to him by the AFL for making a homophobic slur. While he has apologised multiple times, he has since vented about the penalty during an episode of his wife Kelly Finlayson's podcast. In a segment where the hosts and guests highlight their goods, bad and offensive talking points for the week, Finlayson said his offensive is that he is pissed off that he got a 3-week suspension. And having a look at the weather around the country, Broome sunny 36, Perth also sunny 32, Adelaide partly cloudy 21, Melbourne showers 17, Hobart partly cloudy 19, Albury-Wodonga similar forecast 21, Canberra partly cloudy 21, Wollongong shower 2 21, Sydney showers 24, Newcastle a shower 2 25, Brisbane similar conditions 28, Townsville mostly cloudy 30, Cairns possible shower 31, Alice Springs Sunny 27, Darwin a shower to developing 34, and the Torres Strait Islands mostly cloudy day ahead and the top of 30 degrees. And that is NITV Radio News.